It's time that the anointing be restored. Fresh oil. Lift your hands, say fresh oil. Say it again. Say, Father, I need fresh oil. Now you gotta understand something, all of you, that there are three dimensions. Three dimensions of the anointing. And I've lived it. I know what I'm talking about. The first dimension in the Old Testament is called the leper's anointing. The leper's anointing was given to the lepers at their cleansing. The sinner's anointing, basically. When the leper came to the priest, the scripture says clearly that he was cleansed with the blood. And after being cleansed by the blood, he was anointed with oil. That's found in Leviticus 14. You can just write it down. There's no need to go through it now because it's quite detailed. So that is our salvation anointing. That's when we receive the anointing for the first time. And as Christians, we've all experienced the leper's anointing, because in John 20:22, after the Lord rose from the dead, he breathed on his disciples. And so the scripture says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That's John 20:22. That's called the leper's anointing, the first stage of our experience. The leper's anointing was experienced by David in 1 Samuel. Now, dear brother, you need to sit down over there. Please sit down. That gentleman right there. Someone tell him, tap him to sit down, will you? Yeah, somebody help me over there. There's a man standing. When one of the ushers go, or one of the gentlemen who works with me, just help this gentleman sit down. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, the Bible tells us David received the anointing first among his brethren. In verse 13 it reads, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So here's a man receiving. It's all right, just pay attention to me now. I'm giving you the word. The anointing of God came upon David for the first time in Bethlehem, in his home, when Samuel came to anoint him among his brethren. Brethren means the church. The first anointing you received as a Christian, you received it at salvation. Now please listen to me. Every anointing has a purpose. We cannot see the greater results till we receive the greater dimension of the anointing. But let's talk about the first level, the first dimension. As I called it, the leper's anointing, because of what happened in the old covenant to the leper in Leviticus 14. What happened to the apostles when they were saved, brought them out of leprosy. Salvation brings you and I out of leprosy. Leprosy is sin. So God anoints sinners first at salvation. David was still among his brethren when he was anointed, still not qualified to be the king of Israel. He was still a shepherd. Now that first level of the anointing enabled him to defeat Goliath. It's strong enough that we can defeat giants with it. But we're not qualified yet to rule. We're not qualified to receive authority. And so the scriptures talk about that first level of the anointing. Every Christian is anointed with that anointing. Every believer understands the anointing for salvation. Mentioned in 1 John 2:27, we have an unction from the Holy One. We have an anointing by God. We're all anointed, Paul wrote in Corinthians. Now that blessed anointing brings us into the kingdom of God. And that blessed anointing has nothing to do with God's presence. It is His power that comes into our lives, and we become members of His church, members of His body. We become one with Him. He, the head, we, the body. It is that anointing that delivers from sin, delivers from bondage, and delivers from Satan. And that anointing is nourished by the Word of God. Oh, there's a marvelous scripture in Job. It says, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. That's Job 29 verse 6. When I washed my steps with butter, that is the word of God, the rock poured me out rivers of oil. That anointing is mentioned in Deuteronomy 32:13, what it says, he made him suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. It was received in high places. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, we read in Deuteronomy 32:13. So you cannot receive the anointing until you are in those high places of worship, where the presence of God is flowing freely. I've said many times, I'm going to say it again very quickly, there's a big difference between God's presence and God's power. God's presence is Him. God's presence is His attributes. God's presence is His nature. God's power, listen now, God's power is the overflow of the life of the Messiah. So when we talk about the anointing, we're talking about the overflow of the life of Jesus. It's what flows out of Him. He is the presence. He is the glory. Christ Jesus is the glory of God in the flesh. Am I too deep for you? Jesus is the glory of God in the flesh. People say, oh, I feel the presence of the Lord. I have to correct them and say, you cannot feel the presence of the Lord. Nobody can feel the presence of the Lord. People are mistaken because they believe that the presence and the power are the same. They're not. The presence of God cannot be felt. The presence of God is known. You only can know it, not feel it. It's the power we feel. But we say, oh, I feel Jesus. How can you feel Jesus? You can only know Jesus. The presence of the Lord, please listen. The presence of the Lord is His glory. Remember Moses in Exodus 33 verse 18 said, show me your glory. He's seen His power already in Egypt. He said, show me your glory. What did God do in Exodus 34:5? He came and revealed Himself. The Lord is gracious, merciful, long-suffering. And then He said, and that will by no means justify the guilty. Why? That's His justice. I know you people don't know me too well here. I don't allow anybody to walk when I'm preaching. I believe it's disrespectful to the Word of God to walk up and down the aisle when the pastor is preaching. So sit down. Be glad I'm not your pastor. When I was a pastor and people walked out on me to go to the bathroom, I said, lock the doors, don't let them back in. Nobody was allowed to even go to the bathroom. I said, sit there and suffer. And they learned, when Benny Hinn preaches the word and teaches, nobody moves. Hey kiddo, sit down. Don't move again. Did you hear me? Young man, I'm talking to you. You can't move again. Good boy. God bless you. I'm sorry, all your prayers will not change me. I demand reverence for the word of God. So, God's glory is His attributes. Moses said, show me your glory. God came and said, the Lord is merciful, gracious, long-suffering. That will by no means justify the guilty. God revealed His nature, His justice, His love, His grace, His mercy, and so on. The glory of God cannot be felt. Nor can the glory of God be released. Watch this. Watch this. Nobody ever says, be saved with the laying on of hands. Why? It's the glory of God. You can't release salvation with laying hands on people. Nor can you say, receive Jesus. You can't do that. But you can say, be healed. Be delivered. But not be saved. We cannot release salvation from our hands because salvation is the glory of God. That's a person. You are saved when you receive Jesus. But you're healed when you receive His power. So the presence of the Lord cannot be released. His power can. So I cannot say, be saved by laying hands, but I can say, be healed. So there's a big difference between Jesus and His power. Jesus is the presence of God. Jesus is the glory of God. Jesus is the salvation of God. His power is totally separate. So in the book of Acts we read, ye shall receive power. Now you preachers ought to know that one real good. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, not in you, not with you. There's three separate experiences. He's with you, He's in you, He's on you. He's with you before salvation to convict you of sin. Jesus said in John 14, 16, the Holy Ghost is with you, with you, with you, with you. Why? To convict you. To bring you into the kingdom. Then He's in you. For what? To save you. But then in Acts 1, 8, He said He will be on you. Why? To use you. So He's with you to convict you. He's in you to save you. He's on you to use you. Now, I walked in here tonight and the Holy Ghost was already in me, but not on me yet. He's not even on me now. He's coming on me in about 20 minutes. The power will come on me in a few minutes and you'll all know it when it does. You can all feel it. The anointing of God comes on you for service. The glory is in you for salvation. So the presence is in you, but the power is on you. Before God began to use me, I was saved in 1972. Before 72, the Lord began to convict me of my sin, and it took Him months to reach my heart. That's what Jesus meant. He's with you. But then in February 14 of 72, I said yes to Jesus, and I was born again. Monday morning, 7:50, on the 14th of February. At that moment, Jesus came, and the scripture was fulfilled. He's in you now. Now here's a wonderful thing. Jesus said in John 14, 16, 17, I will pray the Father, He'll give you another Comforter that he might abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot know or see. For you know Him, He dwells with you and shall be in you. And then He says that He abides with you and in you forever. Now that's marvelous. That the presence of Jesus is in my heart forever. Say after me, the presence is in me forever. The power is not on me forever. You got it. The presence is permanent. The power is not. The power of God comes on you for service, only for service. When you're through serving, the power lifts. So, there's Benihim the man of God and Benihim the man. Benihim the man of God is the one that receives the power on him. But then he walks away and he's the man again. When I'm home, there's no power on me. When I go to bed, there's no power on me. When I go to bed, there's the presence is in me still. Because Jesus abides in me forever. He's in you forever and you don't feel Him. You know Him. Now, His presence manifests. The presence in your heart manifests when you worship Him. The presence manifests and becomes real when you read the Word. The presence manifests and becomes real when you pray. So when we worship Jesus, we can literally we become aware of Him. So that's what people mean by, oh, I feel it. No, you don't feel it. All it is the presence of God now is manifesting. It's in your heart and comes out of your heart like a beautiful incense. Jesus doesn't come and go. He didn't come into your heart and leave and came back the next day again. He keeps coming and go, oh, come Jesus. Well, He's always there. He did not leave you. But what you mean is, Lord, I want to know Your presence again. Well, the presence is there, and the presence is becomes real when you worship. Tonight, when you worship, and when people worship, they lose sight of themselves. When the presence of Jesus becomes real, you'll experience what Moses experienced in Exodus 34:29. It says, and he wist not that his face shone. Wow, I love that. Moses became so taken by God, he lost sight of the fact that his face was shining. He didn't realize what was going on with him. That's what happened to Adam and Eve before sin touched them. They were so taken by God and His glory, they did not even recognize that they were naked. They were clothed with the glory of God, clothed with light. But when sin came, oh, I'm naked now. Yeah, because sin drives away God's glory. So it's God's presence that nurtures our life. And God's presence, listen now, God's presence, not only can you not release it, God's presence does not grow. It does not increase or decrease. God's presence is in your heart at 100% capacity at all times. So God's presence is like this. Watch this. God's presence, when from the day you got saved to the day you'll see Jesus and forever, will always be like this. No change whatsoever. It's always at full capacity. But God's power is so different. And here's how God's power works. Watch this. Believe me, I've experienced this one. God's power goes like this. You never know where it's going. It's wind that's blowing. Sometimes weak, sometimes strong. When the presence of God becomes real to you, nobody can shout, people cry. When the presence of Jesus becomes real to you, listen to this. The presence of Jesus does not stir the soul. the presence of Jesus stills the soul. That's why he said, be still and know I'm God. Nobody can shout and run around like crazy people if the presence of God is real. They all cry and fall on their face. But when the power of God comes, it stirs up your emotions. Yes, the power of God is emotional. The power of God stirs the soul. The power of God makes you shout. The power of God makes you dance. The power of God drives up your emotional state to a level you almost explode. The power of God magnifies everything in your body. Everything comes to a peak when the power is there. But when the presence is real, people can't even talk. All they do is cry. And the more they experience the presence, the quieter they get. And sometimes the presence is so deep, they are completely still. They're afraid to lose it. They become motionless. How many understand? Put your hands up high. It so stills your heart. It so stills your soul. All you do is stand in awe and cry. You can't even sing when the presence of God is real to you. All you do is weep in His presence. Tears become your language. That's what the presence of Jesus does. But the power, it's different. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And the word upon you means like you put your clothes on. Like a mantle comes upon you. Well, there's three dimensions to that. The God's anointing upon you. It came first upon the leper. Oil on his head. Not in his heart. On his head. David, the oil on his head. Jesus breathed on them. That's power. Now that anointing will absolutely, the first experience, salvation comes at the same time. And it's a mystery how that really happens. That Jesus enters into your heart, becomes one with you. He that is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit. That's a mystery. How he does it. Only God knows how he does that. There's a reunion in our hearts with him. Our spirits are reborn. We receive a new heart. That's a mystery, how it happens. But it's real. But I'm talking here tonight about the anointing. Now there's a second dimension of the anointing that every Christian, most anyways, have experienced. Called the anointing for ministry. That's what took place in the upper room. When the Spirit of God came upon them for the second time. For service, they began to speak in unknown tongues and prophesy. The gifts were imparted. That's the anointing that came upon Aaron and his sons for ministry. Exodus 30. There's first the oil on the leper, but there's the oil on the priest for ministry. That is what begins your authority, the journey of authority in the kingdom. And so the Bible says that God anointed David the second time. Why? He became a king, the king, but it was limited to one tribe. Oh, this is something so glorious. I call that the priestly anointing. Exodus 30:30. Came upon the priest. Acts 2:4 came upon the apostles. 2 Samuel 2:4 came upon David for the second time. David was anointed three times. Remember that. First time, 1 Samuel 16. Second time, 2 Samuel 2:4. When he was anointed the second time to be the king over Judah. That's for authority, but limited authority. So I call it ministry. The anointing for ministry. Every Christian qualifies for this one. And that anointing comes upon you. And that anointing is limited to service and ministry, like wearing a blanket, wearing a mantle, wearing your suit. Oh, have I experienced this, my goodness, more than you know. And that anointing sometimes comes on me in such a manner, I feel my flesh is about to explode. One time in Toronto, Canada, I was going, laying hands on people, and a man named Kent Marox, who worked with me, came and touched my arm, and he froze, began to cry. You can't believe it, just everything in him froze. He went, like this. And finally I said, what's going on with you? He said, Pastor, anyone, when I touched you, it was like touching an electric wire. I've seen that power in Catherine Kuhlman's meetings. In my own meetings, sometimes my body, literally, I tell you the truth before God, sometimes I'm afraid to die under that anointing. I don't know how my body can handle it. I have felt such intensity, I thought my skin would blow off. Last night in New York, dear God, I thought I would explode. But one time, I'll never forget this. As long as I live, I'll not forget this. Denver, Colorado. When that anointing was so strong on me, people were scared of me. Paul Crouch was afraid of me. Paul Crouch told me, he said, you scared me under that anointing. I was so... And you got to understand this. You have to be so careful what you say under that anointing. Because everything you say happens. Two men came against me prior to that experience. That anointing came so strong on me. And it's very, very rare that I do this. Very rare. Only one time in my life I've done this. The stadium was so shaken by the power of God, people were scared. It was that anointing of Acts 5 where people, it says, they feared them. And I took my, I shut my microphone. There was a man, two men that came against me. I spoke against one of them. A week later, he dropped dead. Just died, just like that. I know the power of that anointing. It has such power in it, life and death is in it. Everything you say happens. The other guy was disgraced and moved to the Far East, and now I hear he's dying. Scary. That anointing is so frightening. I wished I'd never... I prayed afterwards, I don't want to ever experience this again. Because it's the kind of anointing you just don't want to deal with. But there's a third one. It's a third one. And the third one very few men can handle. It's called the anointing for dominion. The third dimension. And that took place when in the old covenant God placed it on Aaron. Now that anointing is awesome. That anointing protects you from death itself. Absolutely. Well, don't you remember in Numbers 21, are you all listening? Can you go deeper with me a little bit here? Do you remember in Numbers 21 when Aaron and Miriam came against Moses for marrying an Ethiopian woman? Well, he married a black woman from Ethiopia. It couldn't be the same woman that he married from Midian. I know this is a hot potato for some of you. Moses had two wives, so you might as well settle it in your heart. Because Midian is not Ethiopia. Zipporah was not the Ethiopian. Zipporah was Midianite. Yes. And many Jewish rabbis believe she died, and that's why he remarried the Ethiopian. Well, his brother stood against him. His sister stood against him. Because of the anointing on Aaron, nothing happened to him. But his sister was struck with leprosy. Instantly, she was judged. Basically what God said, since you don't like black, I'll make you so white you'll hate being white. That's what God was saying to her. Since you hate black, I'm making it so white you're going to hate being white. She became a leprous. And Moses prayed for her. God healed her. But God wanted to kill her. But nothing happened to Aaron. And we all wonder, it was Aaron too who stood against his brother. Why was he not judged? Because of what Psalm 89 verse 20 says. Psalm 89 clearly states that the anointing for dominion protects from Satan and death. With holy oil have I anointed him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. There is an anointing that protects you even from the devil. It protects you from death. As long as he wore the garment, as long as he was the high priest, as long as he was anointed, even death could not touch him. And then when God said, take your brother to Mount Or, he's going to die. Well, he couldn't die as long as he wore the garments. Couldn't die as long as the oil was on him. But the minute the garments came off, death was waiting for him. He dropped dead on Mount Or for coming against his brother. Anybody listening? That anointing came upon David, and the Bible tells us very clearly that the kingly anointing was so awesome on David that he took the strongholds of Zion. The third time he was anointed over all Israel after Saul died. He took the strongholds now. He began to conquer new lands now. That same anointing came upon the apostles in Acts 4. Now you listen to me. The apostles were anointed in John 20, 22. They were anointed in Acts 2, 4 and anointed again in Acts 4. When they went to the upper room and said, Father, Lord, behold the threatenings. Stretch forth your hand that signs and wonders may be done in the name of your holy child Jesus. And God shook the upper room again. And they were anointed for the third time. It was after that anointing that the shadow of Peter healed the sick. The anointing for dominion caused his shadow to heal the sick. It was after that anointing that angelic activity became the norm in the church. Angels came and set him free from prison. That anointing was so awesome on him, they could not even keep him in prison. It was that anointing, the third dimension on the apostles and the church, that turned Saul into Paul. It was that anointing upon the church, took place in Acts 4, that caused Stephen to stand with such power, they could not resist the words by which he spake. It was that anointing was so strong that changed addition to multiplication so greatly they quit counting the numbers of saints saved. In Acts 2, it says they were added to the church. In Acts 6, 1, they multiplied. In Acts, but from there on, they multiplied greatly and nobody could number them anymore. It was after Acts 4. In Acts 4, something else happened. When they received the first anointing, they mocked them. They received the second, they threatened them. But when they got the third, they feared them. Brother, the church is about to fear you. And the world is about to fear you. Why? Because of that third dimension. And the third dimension is dangerous. Now you got to hear this. Very few men in our century experienced this third dimension. And everyone that did lost their mind. I don't mean to scare you. Dowie in Chicago, Illinois shook the world. And when the third dimension came on him, he thought he was Elijah. And died in disgrace. William Branham, same thing. He experienced the third dimension where God used him in such ways. I have videos of it, and I sit and tremble watching that man being used. Details about people. I mean details. William Branham is his name. William Branham was preaching, my dear, when a halo appeared over his head preaching in Louisiana. You can look him up on YouTube. He'll shake you up. A man walked up to him one day who was lying to him. He said, I have cancer. This man would read people's minds. He would say, you are so and so, your name is this, your name is that, first, last name. Details about their life scared the lights out of people. New details about every, he said, I hear you saying this, this, this to your wife, and she said this, this, this to you. The power of God was so strong on him that a guy walked up to him and said, I have cancer, but he was lying. And Branham said, you're a liar. Either you don't have cancer, you came to mock me, but you will have cancer. You're going to be dead in 7 days. And the guy dropped dead. Said, you don't lie to the man of God, you're going to drop dead. That anointing is scary. But even William Branham thought he was Elijah. How many have heard of William Branham? How many never have heard of him? Look him up on YouTube. He's all over YouTube. Or the Jeffrey brothers out of England. The Jeffrey brothers, Stephen and George Jeffrey, had the anointing for dominion. They would walk into a building. Listen. They would walk into a building and say, the master is here. And when they would, people with no eyes would pop out into the sockets. People with no arms would grow out. Oh yeah, this is real stuff. It happened in England. They're called Stephen and George Jeffrey. And they went into heresy too before they died. You know who Reinhard Bonnke is? Yeah. Reinhard Bonnke was a young man when he was in London, England. And the Lord told him to go to see George Jeffrey before George died. He went knocking on the door. And the lady, the maid, kicked him out. She said, go, 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 leave. He said, I'm here to see the man of God. She said, just go away. When suddenly the old man comes down the stairs. And he looks at Bonnke. Bonnke told me this himself. Looks down at Bonnke and says, man of God, come on in. And he laid hands on him like this. Didn't say a word. Went to his room, and the next day he was dead. He died the next day. Bonnke received the anointing from George Jeffrey. And George Jeffrey had notable miracles with his brother in the meetings in England. It was so stunning and so awesome. People with no fingers would walk into their meetings and fingers would grow on their hands. Ears would grow on people's faces. These are real miracles. Suzanne, my wife, her dad used to play piano for Smith Wigglesworth. Her grandmother, Little Skin, used to sing for him. Suzanne's grandma, they're British, you know, my wife is British. They come from England. Her grandmother used to sing for Smith Wigglesworth. And I asked Lil, when I got married to Suzanne in 79, I said, Lil, tell me, what was Smith like? She said, well, I'll tell you. A man died in his meeting. And Smith said, pick him up. And he punched him. She said, I said, you saw it? She said, yeah, I was there. He punched the man in his stomach. In the name of Jesus, rise. Pow! Hit him right in the stomach. And they let him go and he dropped on the floor. He was still dead. Pick him up, he said, for the second time. He punched him the second time. In Jesus' name, I say, rise. Pow! Nothing happened. Dropped again. The third time, he punched him in the face. In Jesus' name, I said, rise. And he punched him in the face, and the man rose. I said to Lil, well, thank God he did. Had he not, he would have killed him for sure. Now, you listen to me. He had the authority for dominion. His wife died, and he raised her from the dead. And the story goes, I heard this from my wife's family who knew him. His wife died, ladies and gentlemen, and he raised her from the dead. She said, what are you doing? He said, I miss you. She said, I was just talking with Jesus, and you called me back. Let me die so I can finish my conversation with the master. He says, go, and she died again. Now that's authority. A train, there was a train in England, and the train came to this little town where he was. The train stopped. 19 cripples were on the train. Every one of them was healed. That's the authority of that dominion anointing. Amy Semple McPherson would hold Saturday afternoon miracle services for stretchers only. Stretchers only. Nobody was allowed in unless they came on a stretcher or a family member with them. That's a fact in Los Angeles, California. Stretcher only healing meetings. You couldn't get in unless you were laying down on a stretcher. Thousands of people would come laying on stretchers, and every one of them would get up and walk. That's the anointing for dominion. I'm here to tell you it's coming back to America. Somebody shout hallelujah. I've had prophecy after prophecy after prophecy after prophecy that I would see this anointing on my life, but every prophecy said, not without your wife. Oh yeah, and then I got divorced and wondered if God would ever fulfill those prophecies. Looks like he will. But I'm going to tell you something. That anointing for dominion is scary and dangerous. Catherine Kuhlman experienced it only for the last 3 years of her life. And I saw it on her. Dear God, did I see it on her. Do you know that Catherine Kuhlman had some of the greatest miracles I've ever seen in my life in her meetings? I was there. Nobody had to tell me. I saw it. With my own eyes, I saw it. Did I ever tell you, Pastor, about the lady that we took with us from Toronto? She was crippled with arthritis. And I mean crippled, like twisted. Every part of her body was twisted. Like you took a piece of rubber and did this to it. We drove from Toronto, Canada to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It was Good Friday, 1975, to Pittsburgh. And I'm sitting in the auditorium, Syria Mosque, North Side, Pittsburgh, on the balcony. But this lady was with us on the bus. Now, you people who live in Baltimore know from Toronto, Canada to Pittsburgh is at least 7 hours in the car. On a bus, a little bit longer, especially if you stop here, and we did. So a whole day on the bus, and here's this lady sitting like this. Now, I mean crippled, like twisted all over. Her little husband was carrying her purse for her. And Jim Pointer, the man who took the bus down, asked me and a young man named Al Parachin to help the lady up and down the bus. So we did. So we'd go down and bring the wheelchair from under the bus and open the wheelchair and go up to the bus and carry her, put her in her wheelchair, roll her down to the restaurant or whatever. Friday morning comes. She was quite witty. She said, hey boys, don't let them see the wheelchair. I want to go into the main auditorium because Catherine never allowed wheelchairs on the main floor. The wheelchairs had to go to the basement. If any of you ever been to Catherine, you know I'm right. All wheelchairs were in the basement. So I said, all right. We kept the wheelchair on the bus and carried her in the service, praying the whole time, Lord, blind the ushers. Don't let them see us. So we take her down, stick her down on the third, fourth row, and we went up to the balcony because the place was filled like this. People ran down and got every seat. It was just full like this. I'm sitting on the balcony and I'm looking down, and that woman in her seat began to untwist. I mean, like her body began to get into shape. God began to untwist her arms and back and legs in her seat. I saw it with my own eyes, and I began hitting Jim Pointer going, couldn't even talk. And you'd do the same thing, believe me, if you saw that. You'd all be going, And she walked up on the platform straight. I mean straight, Pastor. She was bent down like this. I mean, the whole thing was crippled. Her legs, her arms. And now she's straight. Arms straight, legs straight. She walks up like a tall woman. I couldn't believe it. Miss Schumann says, what's this? And Jean Martin was there and said, Miss Schumann, this lady had da-da-da-da. I tells her about her healing. And now she starts to talk to Miss Schumann. And then Catherine, in her dramatic ways, if you saw Catherine, she would wear a white dress and she floated like a ballerina. And she was about to lay hands on this lady when this woman said, Miss Schumann, just a second. What happened is she recognized that her little finger was still twisted. All her body was, everything was healed except the little finger that nobody saw except her. Supposedly, somehow, the top of her little finger was still too twisted for her. Nobody could see it. And she said to Miss Schumann, she said, Miss Schumann, just a second. He forgot the finger. She wanted the finger to heal. She said, he forgot the finger. And Catherine, in her very dramatic way, she said, honey, I won't ask him to do that. He left it there that you might remember. What a God we serve. We're coming into that anointing. Are you ready for it? Well, it's time we begin preparing for it. God is about to do mighty things in America and mighty things in your life tonight. Come on, lift your hands, pray, 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 pray. Come on over you, pray, come on. Lift your voices and pray. I wanna hear you pray in the Holy Ghost.